Welcome to Flip the Script, a mental health podcast. I'm your host, Jana Cohn. Whether you know the darkness of depression yourself or have supported someone in their pain, you've come to the right place. My mission is to empower you to take control of your mental health because nothing else in this entire world matters more. If you're listening in the midst of depression right now, I hope this show gives you assurance that you are not alone and that life doesn't have to be so hard. But you must first desire to feel better and get better. This podcast is a step in the right direction. If you're listening because you're walking alongside someone dealing with depression, thank you. You can always find me on Instagram at jana.cohn and be sure you're subscribed to my email list in the show notes so you never miss an episode. Together, we can flip the script on mental health. Enjoy. We are here with the Mushroom Mamacita Bijou. Welcome to Flip the Script podcast. I am so glad that you're here.
Thank you so much for having me.
I have been really, really looking forward to this episode because I am in conversations a lot with people who are interested in mushrooms or microdosing, but I find that there is a ton of information out there that is either on the very scientific end of things, or it is on the other end of full-on psychedelic trip end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Bijou, and why I really wanted to bring you on, is that you bring such a happy medium to both of those spectrums. And so I am excited to just dive in with you. Can you first just tell us a little bit about your background? Because I think you have such an interesting perspective from, you know, moving to the, you know, wilderness of Virginia and from Texas. So can you give us just a little bit of background so the listeners understand kind of your path?
Yeah. So I was an entrepreneur kind of almost right out of college, other than one job that I had that I really appreciated. It was in the corporate world. And then I just love entrepreneurs so much. I came from two, and I realized how alone entrepreneurs felt, or people that were interested in giving themselves the life that they wanted. So I started coaching and brand consulting, like personal brand consulting, at one point when I had a video production company. And I just realized that all of us have such blocks that sometimes coaches can't touch because of like intimacy blocks or like blind spots that we're all so good at tucking away and hiding our blocks, our wounds, our issues. And so I personally got interested in microdosing because of the men in Silicon Valley that were spouting its praises. But you're right. When I first started, especially about 7 years ago, there wasn't hardly anything on the internet other than trip reports that sounded rather insane. Not much about psychedelic psychotherapy or how to utilize very small doses to support yourself on a day-to-day basis. So I kind of turned myself into a little bit of a guinea pig, and anyone that would work with me, as in like friends and family members, because I was such a advocate for it after what it did for me. And then I started getting trained in sex, love, and relationship coaching, just because I realized it's such a big part of the human experience and a big part of what people are struggling with. And I felt like I couldn't really support people with those aspects without that training. And then I did my psychedelic facilitator training. And so I'm a weird mashup, but I like my little Frankenstein approach that kind of touches on the somatic side of healing, the intellectual side, and the medicine that kind of like puts all of those together in a new and interesting way.
Yeah, I think it's just so insightful to see the path that you've been on. And how long have you been in Virginia now, just solely working with magic mushrooms?
I got my training, my psychedelic facilitator training in 2020, right when COVID hit. And my partner and I, it was his idea. He wanted to buy land and be out in the middle of nowhere. We were kind of been in the city in Austin for so long. I was there for 15 years. I really had let it run its course. And it was something new and interesting for me, for sure. I like to challenge myself. So we found this property. We found 80 acres. We moved everything and just plopped ourselves out in the middle of nowhere, which to some people sounds kind of crazy. But for me, with how much I travel for work, sometimes it's really nice to have this as my home base. But I've been here for 2 years, no, almost 3 years now. And it's just a little slice of heaven. I love it so much.
Yeah. Wow. So before we dive in here, I know that mushrooms, psilocybin, and for those listening, psilocybin is just the technical term for mushrooms. I know within the past year and just past couple months, really, a lot has changed as far as the legalities of psilocybin in several states. Mm-hmm. And just people tend to be more apt to even consider a treatment like psilocybin. Mm-hmm. You know, there are Netflix documentaries on it. It's much more. It's still not mainstream by any means, mm-hmm. but it's much more talked about. Would you agree with that? And I mean, you have seen that totally transform since you began your mushroom journey.
Yeah, I only came out like openly as Mushroom Mamacita a year before the big media boom around it. And I was expecting it to take 5 to 10 years for it to ever hit the press, right? And so I owe a lot to MAPS and Decriminalize Nature organization, and then John Hopkins Hospital. I mean, they really started doing a lot of research, and they got the first government grant in, I think it was like 40 years, to start focusing on MDMA and psilocybin. So yeah, I mean, it's been a very quick change, and I'm shocked to see how quickly it's moved up in legislation in a lot of states. But I do believe the fact that it's so safe, and the fact that people are starting to have reverence for the medicine, knowing that you do need support when you work with it, that I do believe it might just one day in the next couple of years just be normalized across the board. At least that's what I'm hoping for.
I totally agree. And when I started working with you several months ago, you were recommended from my friend Allison, who I'm also going to have on the podcast. I was open about microdosing and working with you, but I only felt comfortable because I had been so open with my mental health and depression struggles. Mm-hmm. But still, there is absolutely a stigma around mushrooms. And what I feel like a lot of people have questions about and don't understand is when someone speaks of microdosing, what that is, and how you have found it to support, you know, your personal journey and evidence that you've had in hundreds of clients now. Kind of talk to us about what microdosing is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was just an article out this past week about moms who are microdosing and how it has just improved their quality of life. Like, there's so much attention on it, but when it comes down to it, what is microdosing?
Great question. I believe there is a lot of stigma around it. There is a lot of propaganda in the sense that let's say alcohol and psilocybin, right, are similar in the sense that what if people had only heard about alcohol from like blackout drunk people, right? So like people drinking four bottles of wine at a time, that's what we think about as alcohol. But one glass of wine, two glasses of wine, three glasses of wine, you're very like manageable. You can get about your day, you're fine, right? Or most people are. So that's the difference, right? Between like some of these big psychedelic trips that people weren't prepared for, that they didn't have a psychedelic facilitator for, those trip reports really scared a lot of people. A lot of scientists back in the 60s when they were like, it looks like this person's having a psychotic break, but in all actuality, they're just having a somatic release. And so our skewed idea of what normal is and what everything should look like really scared everyone. But a microdose is truly just like a glass of wine. It's a supplement. It's just like an herb or something that you would take to just make your nervous system less tense and raw and freaked out. And so a very subperceptive dose that you would barely feel at all from a microdose, and then it would just be in the background the rest of the day, is what we're talking about when we say microdose.
Yeah, that is a great analogy with the alcohol thing. And that was one misconception that I had when I first microdosed. I expected to feel something. I thought, okay, I'm going to feel something, or I'm going to start seeing things or hearing things. And it's not like that at all. And you kind of have to play with the dosing and measurement and all of that. But I think that that's comforting for people to know that when they microdose, you're not going on some major psychedelic trip. I think that that's key.
Yeah, I mean, you should be able to drive and work and be a parent. Like anything that you would do on a cup of coffee, when you've dialed in the right dose for you, for your body weight, for the prescriptions that you're on, for what your life looks like, if you take the time to dial in the right dose with someone who knows what they're doing, yeah, you shouldn't really be feeling anything except for maybe an elevation in mood or better resource of your stress or just a calmness, right? It should not feel, unless like you're trying to have an experience. You want to go on a hike on a Saturday and you want to like triple your normal microdose. That's one thing. But even then, it's still like you can be out in public. You can still walk around. But you need to take the time to figure out what you alone feel like on a very small dose.
Absolutely. And I think that is absolutely sometimes where things go awry with someone who gets a chocolate mushroom bar. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
I mean, I've heard awful, awful stories about it. So I think that's so key. And that's how I found you. And when I came to you, and for anyone listening, this is Bijou's world. And so she is a guide through this process. And I think that's such an important part of integrating, you know, psilocybin microdosing into anyone's life, is to have someone, some support there, not physically with you, but you know, we worked through Zoom and chatting apps, to have someone to help you process through it and integrate afterwards. I think it's just so key to have that, and absolutely necessary.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that was why I decided to do, I mean, when I first came out, even some of the people closest to me are like, what are you talking about? Who needs a microdosing coach or consultant? And it's like everyone that's getting into it, right? Because you can figure out how to utilize this medicine well into the rest of your life by yourself once you have really worked through what's right for you, because everyone's past is different. Everyone's current environment is different, and everyone's goals are different, not to mention their bodies and what they're dealing with if they're on other pharmaceuticals. So it's really important to work with someone to understand what's right for you, because yes, those stories of, my husband can take a whole square of chocolate and not feel anything. So I took a whole square of chocolate and I'm like half his size and I'm not on an SSRI. And all of a sudden I'm rocking in the closet crying, right? And that's the thing, is like expectations, dosing, support, because it's a misconception in especially in the Western world, that's like, oh, this is like Prozac. I'm just going to pop this and it's going to make me not feel anymore. And it's like, no, actually mushrooms make you deeply feel, and they're going to help you deeply feel what you haven't felt in a long time. And you do need integration support with that. You will actually have a better experience and have long lasting results if you're talking through the stuff that's coming up and talking through what you're witnessing about yourself, right? And so, yeah, I'm kind of like all of these things on social media I see that are like, oh, you should microdose and this is how you just take 0.2 and you're fine. And I'm like, no, not everyone should take 0.2. And it's not something that I believe everyone should just go out and try to do alone willy-nilly.
Totally agree. And to your point, I completely relate to that sentiment that in my experience, when I microdose or take a little bit more than a microdose, any emotion that was already in me that society tells us, you know, put a lid on it, don't let it boil over, suppress, deal with it in other ways. The issues are there. And then when I have microdosed, the lid is removed. And I have had times where I have been highly emotional. Mm-hmm. And you have to then know in your brain, and also with the support of a coach like yourself, to feel those emotions, let it come up and let it come out. Mm-hmm. And that is not normal in mm-hmm. today's culture at all. So let's say for someone that is depressed, or, you know, really suffers with anxiety, or for instance, we just talked about, you know, moms who are microdosing. A lot of entrepreneurs have really been interested in microdosing. In what way would you describe psilocybin helping? What blocks may someone be suffering with that helps them? Why might someone want to microdose?
Yeah. And so to your point about it helping you process emotion, is that that emotion lives within you, whether you like it or not. It has to process out of you by you doing specific things. Like, we're finding that our trauma is in our fascia. It is in our bodies. And we have never thought about it like that before. In fact, we just intellectualize it. And then we take pharmaceuticals that help us disconnect from it, right? Or we numb ourselves with alcohol or cannabis or whatever it is. And so that's the thing, is like, when is the appropriate time for you to work with this medicine? And do you have someone that shows you how to, in the right way, process it out so that you actually have space in your body, so that you actually feel better? And that's the long-lasting results that people are seeing. So whether it's a small tea experience or a microdose, it depends on your past and who you currently are to understand which one's right to start with. But it is all about, our nervous systems are overwhelmed. Like, if you talk about an entrepreneur, they're just wearing a million hats, and they're also parents, and they're also the breadwinners, and they're also family members, right? And so they are just completely unsupported, redlining themselves, and their nervous systems are stressed to the max, and they're saying, hold up, right? Or moms too, they are entrepreneurs. Like, they're the same, because they're running an entire business, which is a family, with like 2-year-olds as employees, right? Like it's a hard, it's a lot of work, and their nervous systems and their boundaries are not set up correctly. And so, yeah, it's depression to me is your body being like, the stuff that's around us right now is not going to fly. Like I'm not happy about how I'm being treated. I'm not happy about the boundaries. I'm not living the life that I want. I feel like someone's taking advantage of me. Like all of those things cause anxiety and depression. So then like, let's talk about them. Let's figure out what needs to shift. Let's figure out what needs to shift inside of you to think that you're worthy of asking for those boundaries, right? It's so much more intricate than people are giving life-changing, like self-actualization work credit for.
Totally. And it's digging in to the root of the issue. I have been on antidepressants since 2009. Mm-hmm. Never once did I have a doctor who was prescribing me the medication sit me down or encourage me to sit down with a therapist or counselor and actually talk about where the hell all the emotions and all the feelings and all the depression came from in the first place. I was given a pill, take this, it'll make you feel better. And then you take it again the next day and again the next day and again the next day, and then you're feeling better. So you just keep taking it mm-hmm. when you never dealt with all the crap that got you there in the first place. And so here I am now, almost 15 years later, mm-hmm. having to crawl out of this hole mm-hmm. that I have masked with medications for so, so long mm-hmm. to get to the root of the issue. And I think, gosh, if I would have had someone in my corner back a decade ago to help me get to the root of these issues before just, you know, putting a lid on it, how much different mm-hmm. would things have turned out?
Yeah.
It's a lot to think about.
And that reason is the reason why, even though it is extremely risky and it is seemingly stupid to some people, that I am so passionate about my work. Because I work with people all of the time that are like in their 50s, 60s, and 70s that have not gotten the sex lives that they wanted. They have not had the healing in their families that they wanted. They have not had the abundance or the work that they've wanted because they didn't have someone in their corner being like, let's talk about this, right?
Right. And I see it now in, you know, our parents' generation when I went to my parents and told them this past fall, like my depression has gotten really bad. Mm-hmm. And they knew that I had been on medications. And I said, you know, I'm doing microdosing with mushrooms. I, at that time, was going through IV ketamine infusions, and we'll talk about that. But even then, when I went to my parents, it's such a generational thing. Still, they didn't really want to talk about it. And so it takes our generation to freaking change the narrative. I mean, that's why I titled my podcast Flip the Script, because we have shoved all these issues away from us for so long and numbed ourselves to where we feel nothing. And then when we start to feel a lot of emotion, it's like, well, what's wrong? No, really, what is wrong is not talking about it and dealing with the emotion. It's so backwards. It's so backwards. And you think about, you know, psilocybin, mushrooms, a God-given growing organism being outlawed and taboo, and the connotation of drug dealers, blah, blah, blah. Then you look at big pharma, which I'm not anti big pharma. Medications have done amazing things for this world, and it has done amazing things for me at points in my life. I am not anti them. But when you think about, okay, who are the freaking drug dealers? Let's talk about that. You know, it's just, it is mind blowing when you boil it down. And from someone who has been through it, has walked through it, I've seen it all, and I see the differences in the people that are on both ends of the spectrum. It's really, really crazy. Speaking of, you know, big pharma and medications, explain in your own words. So we've kind of talked about what psilocybin does versus medications versus, let's just say, IV ketamine, because, you know, I've done that. The difference between the two. I think that's so key, and it really makes a lot of sense when you think about it.
I would like to potentially group together some of the dissociates. So alcohol, cannabis, and ketamine. I see the value of maybe even all three of them. I mean, alcohol at the least end of the spectrum, just because I personally had a problem with alcohol. But cannabis is a beautiful medicine, but people overdo it to dissociate from their problems.
Right.
Ketamine is wonderful for people so, so very low that they need to, in short order, understand that they can completely hop timelines, that they can completely dissociate or leave the depths of sadness that they're in, right?
100%.
And so if you're on suicide watch or really struggling with depression and you just have lost all hope, then I understand. But some of the issues that I have with ketamine are that they're expensive and they're showing to be addictive and they're not supporting people with integration after the fact. So that worries me, right?
Yes.
That's one camp. The other one is the pharmaceutical aspect of it. And there are so many out there. And for a small group of people, they actually do work for a minute. The problem is that the side effects are gnarly. The dissociating from your or disconnecting from your body leaves room for things to fester, like cancer, like autoimmune, like stuff to happen, right? Mm-hmm. Your depression gets so bad. It's like a backlog of emotion that you have to keep switching different antidepressants or SSRIs to keep up with it, right?
Yeah.
And that's a game that is am I willing to cut myself off from the bad so much that I also end up giving up the good? Mm-hmm. And do I add all of those extra side effects to my body that are weight gain or low libido? I'm sorry, but I like food and sex a lot. So I'm kind of I don't, that's not for me, right? Well, no wonder you're sad on top of all the stuff you're not feeling. You're missing out on some of the spice of life. And so that's the thing with me, is that we are so afraid of feeling our feelings because we're not supported enough. We want someone to hold us. We don't know who that is. We don't even know how to emote our feelings because we've never seen our parents do it. And every time our emotions do pop out, like rage, because we couldn't keep that bubble under the water, it gets reflected back to us that we were bad and that was horrible. And why did you do that? Right? Because the other person didn't know how to deal with that. And so no wonder we're kind of stuffing all this stuff down and not knowing what to do with it. But that's why I love mushrooms, is that it allows us to, in these safe containers, to go, okay, right here, you're allowed to go off, rage like a machine, or cry like you want to, and you feel like $1 million after that, right? Yes. It's just letting that up and out of your system allows you to then feel safe down in your body. It allows you to then feel creative again. It allows you to feel joyful and blissful because you don't have that like grief on your heart or sadness down in like your body, right? And so that's the difference to me, is that a lot of these are just like a band-aid or cutting us off from the problem and not allowing us to address it.
Yep. Absolutely. I agree. Like the ketamine, the medications are all about disassociating. And like you said, sometimes there is a time and a place for that. And that's beautiful. But psilocybin mushrooms allow us to have that somatic processing and work through it and move through it and move on. So much so that I think the combination of microdosing with the integration therapy, counseling sessions, whatever you want to call it, like those sessions that I have done with you in conjunction with the psilocybin, I feel like the medicine, the psilocybin, allows you to go so much deeper and you get so much more out of a integration session than you would without the medicine. It is the perfect combination for anyone that needs to work through any issues, any traumas, any blocks, whatever you want to call it. It allows your brain to go there because mm-hmm. we are so conditioned not to go there, and our bodies will do anything to keep us from going there.
Yeah, it's the trinity that I realized, and I realized it because in my sex, love, and relationship coaching, we go very deep into somatic release. Mm-hmm. But I also realize that people are very tense and not even ready to touch some of the somatic. And then our subconsciouses hide so many things from us to protect us from it on a day-to-day so we can go about our lives. So if you think about it, we have these blocks to reaching and being able to touch the three aspects of a human, which is the rational mind, the subconscious mind, and the body. So talk therapy, it only touches the rational mind, whereas the medicine allows the body to feel like it can move out somatically. And then the little blocks and little nuggets that you need to understand about your subconscious, they all of a sudden float to the surface and you become aware of them to actually understand how to shift your life and to shift your perspective and to shift your habits and your narrative to then support the way that you actually want to be, right? And so a lot of us are just on autopilot, not really realizing what our blocks are. And that's why I think that working with someone, whether it be your partner or a coach or even a therapist, to have someone on the outside going like, what do you think about that? And then why are you getting emotional here? And what is that irritation there, right? It's being inquisitive about your life and what you're trying to accomplish that I think we're all so busy that we don't realize that we should take time to do things like that. So yeah, to your point, I believe one day that it's going to be the norm because you have to address all three aspects of the human. Otherwise, it's surface level or it's leaving out one of the aspects, which is kind of like without all three, you can't really unlock all of that stuff that allows that huge process to happen.
Yeah, that's powerful. That's so powerful. So to anyone that's listening and, you know, maybe they've been curious about psilocybin or they maybe are in therapy, but just, you know, in talk therapy right now, or they are considering going on medication or they are on medication now, or they've been on medication for years, whatever the case is, how would someone go about learning everything you have to offer and your services? Tell us a little bit about what you have and how someone could contact you and start to work with you.
Yeah. So first and foremost, if you're contemplating getting on medicine, try something else first.
Yeah.
If you're on it now, that's okay. It's possible to support yourself and wean yourself off of it with time and with support. And if you've been on it for a very long time, same. I've worked with and helped a lot of people. It's a little bit more of a longer stretch and a little bit more intense, but it's totally doable and totally worth it.
Yeah.
I would say that everyone is so incredibly different, and that's why someone needs to, which is another thing we're not used to. I just recently had a thing that I had to go to the doctor for the first time in a long time. And I got like 5 minutes of a doctor's time where I was like, there's no way I have any idea what's going on with me in 5 minutes. Right. And so let someone talk to you for 30 minutes, an hour, understand what is in the past that we need to talk about. Everyone has a completely different past. What does your current environment look like? What do we need to address? What does the protocol need to be to fit into your life? Or is it an appropriate time for you? And then what are your goals? So for instance, some people are trying to get off of an addiction or an SSRI, in which case they should have a completely different approach than someone that's just trying to optimize their mind or process some grief, right? Also, men and women, I found that especially at this point in my work, are very different. Where women need to, we're like this in the bedroom too. We need that slow simmer. We need the trust built. We need to really trust the medicine and the facilitator to have a long uncovering of everything over 3 or 4 months to then maybe see if it's appropriate to do a bigger experience to really wipe the slate clean or really go deeper on a big intention that we find. Whereas men are like, I'm probably not going to give you 4 months of my life to do that, but I will do a big experience, in which case they get knocked over the head with this big experience. And then they go, oh, now I see why I need that 4 months. Right. So they do it backwards. Like how women and men are. But yeah, it's really important that you take the time to work with someone who has a lot of experience with the medicine that is very much an integrity, because someone kind of just saying, here's your medicine, and leaving you high and dry when you're trying to process is a really terrible person in my experience. Or if they're like, they have the ability, not that I'm saying anyone would, but to plant narratives in there, right? Like you are open to new ideas. And that's why it's important that you have sovereignty and you're like, what is the narrative? What is the code? What is the programming that I actually want in my system? And so working with someone that allows you to come up with that yourself and then supports that really taking root in your system is really important as well. Some people, if you're working with another healer or you're working with a therapist, sometimes it's appropriate for you to just work with a normal microdosing consultant that just talks to you about dose strain protocol and is really just a consultant on what does your psychedelic journey look like. Whereas if you're completely unsupported, I don't suggest that you just go and get medicine from someone. I think that you should be working with a coach, especially if they have like psychedelic experience, just because it's a whole nother animal that someone has to have the verbiage to support you with understanding what's coming up for you and giving you exercises that will support the mind, body, and soul to kind of deal with this newfound emotion that you're tapping into. And so, it's kind of like, do your due diligence, find the person that's right for you, know that it's going to take a couple of months, know that you should really take time to dial in what's right for you. You should give yourself 3 to 6 months to really work with the medicine and really see what comes up and what needs to be addressed. Make sure you trust the person and you like them. You should get like close to them. It should feel like a friendship. You should feel like you could tell them anything and that they wouldn't judge you. And yeah, just make sure that it's the right time in your life. So for instance, if you're about to go into the biggest project of your entire career, or you just lost a parent like last week, those are things that are probably not the best time to start this medicine. It's all in due time, right? And so utilizing and strategizing the medicine in the right way is definitely something that I think not enough people talk about.
I agree with that, because it's a whole picture approach. Mm-hmm. This isn't a quick fix. This isn't a one visit, 5 minute check-in. This is a journey of healing, and that the saying like healing is not linear is so true. Mm-hmm. I am living and walking that right now, is committing to getting better, mm-hmm. committing to figuring out what's going on, and committing to having the tough conversations that you need to have and dealing with the emotions. And that is often, I think the first step is often the hardest for people when they want something to change in their life, whether it's depression or they're grieving or they're dealing with anything. Mm-hmm. Taking that first step in reaching out for help is often the hardest. And then the ball's rolling. So, you know, for someone that wanted to inquire about your services, is the best way for them to contact you is go through Instagram or your website, or what's the best way?
Yeah. So my Instagram bio definitely links to my website where they can book a call. I really like having a 30-minute call with people just to understand who they are, just because some people are appropriate to work with. Like, I refer out sometimes, like with a certain style of trauma, or if you are truly just fully supported and you need consulting on like what the right dose, strain, and protocol are for you, I refer out on that now, right? So it's I have a specific type of person that is right to work with me, I've realized, and I really shine in certain capacities. At the very least, though, I like talking to anyone that wants to talk to me, because then I can suggest to them what the right dose, strain, and protocol, in my opinion, would be, and then maybe a potential path forward for them, even if it's not with me. But if someone's ready to work with me, it looks like actually doing the work and getting in bed together for like anywhere from 3 to 6 months for us to really start teasing out. And I loved your, like, I wish that I could have an illustrator create a cartoon for me of someone digging a circle around a tree for like months and months until we get to the taproot of like, what is that one wound, that one narrative that is affecting all these things up here, right? Yes. And it is, it's like a discovery. It takes time. It's been hidden and layered over for 35, 40, 50 years. We're not going to like find it overnight. But yeah, like people typically will book a call with me. We'll have at least a 30-minute chat. And then if we find that we're the right fit, my first like leg is about 3 months, where we really go to the basics of the human onion, which is like, what is the parental programming that you have? What is the inner child work that needs to be done? What is your vision of self? And so we have microdose assisted sessions where we kind of uncover a lot of these things. And then I give them practices on what to do to support the shift in that aspect of their life. And then typically by that point at the end, then we can start touching on like femininity, sexuality, like abundance, all of those things that are not the primary aspects that need to be addressed first, we typically go into in the next container together. But what I love is by the time someone's done working with me, they typically are very aware of all of the things that need to shift in their life. They have a lot of ideas of how and how long it's going to take. And then they also feel so comfortable with working with the medicine because you're not always going to have to keep taking it. But if you do your job to protect yourself and to hold your boundaries and to keep yourself on your healing and actual self-actualization journey, then you might have a maintenance protocol that you need to do once in a while, or a nice tea experience for bonding with your partner, or something's going to happen down the road that's going to be somewhat of a catastrophe that you need to heal yourself from, right? And so being really confident utilizing this medicine by yourself eventually is definitely a goal that I have when I work with people. So I'm not everyone's cup of mushroom tea, but I am for the right person, especially people looking to make a big shift in their lives.
Right. And one thing that I think is important for anyone listening to know, because I talk to a lot of people who have a desire to start with something. It might be a therapist, a coach. They don't know what direction they want to go in their healing journey. Mm-hmm. But where I, in my experience, have seen you shine so much is that when someone comes to you, they do not have to come to you with a silver platter and say, "Hey, Bijou, these are all the things that I'm struggling with. Like, I already know where the issues are. I know where they came from." I feel like a lot of people get stuck in being scared that they don't know all of the issues when they come to the table. And what I have found that, you know, the psilocybin and you do so well is you are trained to start peeling back those layers. You will get to it. That is your expertise. That is what the psilocybin facilitates. And so when someone comes to you, I think it's important for them to know they don't have to know, "Hey, this is what I want to work on." You're going to find it out. And I think that's so powerful to take some of the pressure off of anyone listening to know that you don't have to come into this knowing what you want to work on. Like, that is the power of working with you. And the medicine is that it rises to the surface.
Thank you. And yeah. And yeah, it's really funny. It's like a joke that I love, that even when people do come with the silver platter, we typically find that it's something way different and way lower than that. And that's what's so cool, is like, no wonder you felt blocked or like on a plateau or stagnant, because you thought it was all of these things and you've been addressing all of these things, but it was, in all actuality, it was down here, right? And so, yeah, like you're right. That's the part of the work I love the most, is being the digger, the one that's going to like put all the clues together and try to understand what is actually going on with each individual person. So, thank you for that reflection. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, I will put all of your information in the show notes for anyone listening to reach out to you. I know that this conversation is going to spark a lot of curiosity and is going to open the door to a world that someone might not even know exists. And I think that the work you're doing is so important for people to understand and to have their eyes open to there being other ways to heal rather than just the things that we know in, you know, Western culture that are usually the go-tos. So thank you for taking the time to be here today.
Yeah, thank you for this conversation. It was great.
Thank you for listening to Flip the Script, a mental health podcast. I'm your host, Jana Cohn. If you'd like to talk with me one-on-one, I have private sessions available now to book in the show notes. And please, if this episode spoke to you in any way and you want to join me in flipping the script on mental health issues, the best thing you can do is leave a review on whatever platform you're listening from. Or take a screenshot of this episode, tag me, and share to your social media. I'd also love to connect with you in the DMs on Instagram at jana.cone. In the show notes, you can subscribe to my email list and never miss an episode. I'll see you here next time on Flip the Script.